Kambudar Pratap Singh, you're joining us on NewsX. Prime Minister Narendra Modi, while speaking at the 17th Pravasi Bhartiya Divas, hailed the role of global Indians as brand ambassadors of India. He called the 25 years an opportunity for all Indians to tell the true story of India. Over the next 1 hour, we will be speaking to some Indians who live outside the country, talking about their journeys and the importance of celebrating this Pravasi Bhartiya Divas. But I want to now go across to our next guest. Reena Sundar, founder Debt Modern India Norway, is with us live. Reena Sundar, pleasure to have you on the show. Tell us a bit about your journey, personally, professionally. Please do apprise our viewers.
First of all, thank you very much for inviting me to this debate. It is always a pleasure to add Norwegian perspectives to various topics on NewsX. I was 3 when my parents moved from Punjab to Norway. I was the first Indian girl who left my family and the town they lived in to start studying at the university. And that was a big, big no-no, big, big hangama in the 90s, because the only measurement for success for a girl in the 90s was to have an arranged marriage with an Indian from India. I just knew I wanted to have a career. I wanted to get to know the Norwegian society. I wanted to climb the corporate ladder. I was very ambitious. And touch wood, I was very lucky that I was, from the day I left house, started the university, pursued my bachelor's, pursued my master's, I have been given endless opportunities in Norway in every field. At the uni, at the age of 22, I was selected to be heading the largest international conference on human rights. Then I finished my studies. I have 2 masters. Then I started working in consultancy, and I never felt limited in any way. I've had the coolest bosses who have had confidence and trust in me, and they have just lifted me at every stage. And then there was also a time where I was also invited to join McKinsey, which was a big thing for me in the 90s, being an Indian girl with a mother who could not read and write. So that's, first of all, what Norway as a country give to people who move here. But of course, I speak perfect Norwegian. That is probably one reason where that you have to succeed. In Nordic countries, you need to know the language. But India was so different in the 90s. I used to go there, but I never felt India was my place or my home. There used to be so much poverty in Delhi. Would see people sleeping, you know? So for me, it was like, I used to go there, I speak fluent Hindi, I speak fluent Punjab, but I never felt comfortable in my skin. And my friends and my families there at that time, especially in Rajasthan, they were like, oh, Reena, bring this from Marks and Spencer, bring this. And then it has been just amazing the past 2-3 decades to see the journey of India. No, it's the opposite. They don't need anything from the West. It's rather me who want like the coolest designer saris and the tops and the blouses. But let's go back to the journey. So in my 20s, I actually used to run away from everything Indian because I felt there was nothing India could give me in order to climb the ladder, the corporate ladder that I wanted. So I was focusing on Norway, making it really good here, going the consultancy way. Then I married, lived in France, lived in Australia, and 5 years in Singapore. And also in Singapore, I could feel and see the Indians, because Singapore is one of the countries where Indians can move to and have a stellar career. Yep. And I was like, wow, these Indians are cool. They're professional. They're doctors. These are really cool people. I can mingle with them. Then there must be something Indian in me. And then they used to laugh at me and they say, hey, Reena, your Punjabi is very old. We don't use those words anymore. So I had to brush up on that. But that gave me that pride back, being in Singapore, being with very resourceful, happy, content people who are brilliant in their fields. So when I returned to Norway, I was approached by the Prime Minister's office in Norway, actually. One of the secretary called me and said, our trade minister is going to India. Mm-hmm. I would like you to join that trip. And then I was invited to the negotiations with EU and India. Then I met the trade minister, Anand Sharma. Yes. He's such an intellectual. His speech blew my mind. And I actually went up to him without any agenda. I just said, today you made me proud as an Indian. I didn't know anything about Congress or DGP. I was never into India in that way. And then he, you know, left the whole crowd in the break and he gave me his card. So I took that as a sign that, well, the Prime Minister's office in Norway, yeah, have approached me, then Anand Sharma. And after that, there has been no point looking back. It is just to follow India. It is to be that brand ambassador because I love Norway equally. So yeah, when the Pranab Mukherjee visited Norway, it was an honor to be part of that visit as well. And I have been chairing the Norway India Chamber of Commerce. And then I was asked to invite a textbook for students in Norway. So I have written a book, Demodane India. Now it's an NGO also, in order for Norwegian youngsters at bachelor and master's level to understand this new rising India with half the population, which is below the age of 25. Mm-hmm. There will be so much coming out of India. And I just feel it's an honor to be that bridge where we can build stronger connections between the Norwegian and Indian intellectuals and the business.
How have you tried to, boost the image of India as well? Tell us a bit about that, you know, about how you've tried to promote the image of India abroad, in your neighborhood, in your country of Norway, where you've, of course, been living for so long, as you're just telling us.
I have always been the only brown girl in whatever environment I used to be in and still am among a lot of men. I have been lucky because my Norwegian is perfect. So, India has a good image actually in Norway because Indians are viewed as skilled, as hard workers. And when you look at the Indian diaspora and you listen to Narendra Modi's speech, we have so many successful Indians in Norway. For me, it's about being a bridge. I have written a book with 12 business cases, the challenges of entering a market like India. But wherever you go, I think, as somebody else also in the panel said, somehow you also represent India. But it's not hard to do that in Norway because we have so many successful, so many smart Indians, especially the second wave. As I said earlier, my mother didn't know how to read and write. They worked their way up. But now, if you look at what kind of people are moving to Norway, you will see that Indians make the next largest group of skilled workers. You know, and just yesterday, there's an Indian professor, Mr. Amardeep Dheer. He was ranked the third most published academic in Norway. He also received the Rising Star of Science Award. Then there's a fabulous another Indian professor, Roli Aranya. She, 2 months back, she got the international award at the University of NTNU because she has made NTNU known around the world through dialogue and collaboration. And I have to tell you something else. It's not only about me, it's about all the other Indian diaspora. Yeah. One in every 5 women in Norway with Indian heritage becomes a doctor. One in every 5 women. By comparison, only 1 in 100 women with Norwegian born parents in the same group become doctors. That says something how the Norwegian Indian girls are just breaking the glass ceiling when it comes to medicine. And medicine is a tough study. You need stamina in order to pull out and finish that studies, even though you might not even want to do it yourself, but you do it because you want to pay back to your parents. So I'm just very happy to see and follow the rise of India. And I just feel very honored to be in the space where I am, where I can promote both the countries that I love so dearly, Norway and India.
Yes, and I'd also like you to, in fact, weigh in on Prime Minister Modi's message. What you thought of his messaging, you know, on the occasion of Pravasi Bharatiya Divas, if you had a chance to listen to that. And, you know, overall, his speech, the messaging of it, the takeaways, where he's spoken about how, our overseas diaspora are our global Indian brand ambassadors.
That is very true. And as Mr. Friedman also said, the world is getting smaller and Modi is grasping that. That's something I realized when I was in Singapore. You have Indians everywhere now. Indians are cracking the glass ceilings in consultancy, in medicine, in research, science. So yes, because you can never take an Indian out of an Indian. That's something we all share in this panel, that once you have the Indian culture, it's just nothing. You don't want to leave it. So I think it's important what Mr. Modi is saying, that Indians abroad who adapt to other cultures, they play a very important role, first of all, to enhance the image of India, but secondly also to follow the rise of India and to add to how can the countries we are settled in, how can we make stronger partnership when it comes to business income, when it comes to solving global challenges like the climate challenge. So yes, I think what Modi is doing is very smart, reaching out and embracing all the Indians abroad. So hats off to him for that.
Okay. Well, yes, no doubt, as you just said. Okay. My thanks to all of our guests who've joined us on this fascinating conversation. And kudos to you all for doing the great work that you are abroad, and keep flying the Indian flag high wherever you are.